Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, September 11th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with, "We Will Never Forget 9/11/2001, A Journey to Remember." Decatur Memorial's path began with persistence, community. The path to the 9/11 Memorial in Nelson Park was a long and winding road. Eric Mueller of George A. Mueller Beer Company, assisted by Mueller's beer controller Lauren Axe, headed up the effort to raise the money, get the right design, and obtain one of the remaining pieces of the fallen Twin Towers to incorporate into the memorial. The memorial was formally dedicated and unveiled on September 11th, 2017, after several years of fundraising and designing. Standing 13.5 feet high, the memorial sits on a granite base reading, "Never Forget." And inside, it is a piece of steel beam from the Twin Towers and a drawer from a filing cabinet from an office in one of those buildings. The outer design is flames that transform into doves, the bird that symbolizes peace, and at night the memorial is illuminated with red lights for fire, fading into yellow and then white, like the doves at the top. Benches surround the memorial, where an annual ceremony is held to remember 9/11, preceded by a motorcycle ride from Cozyers, Harley-Davidson, and Forsyth, and a caravan of emergency vehicles from Hampton Inn. Participants will leave Cozyers and the Hampton Inn at 6 p.m. with the ceremony and speakers beginning as soon as all the riders arrive at the memorial, approximately at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, today, September 11. Axe said she always gets a little thrill waiting at the memorial, listening for the roar of the motorcycles as they approach. Motorcycles escorted the steel beam in shifts on its trip from New York City to Decatur, driven by her husband, John. Persistence. Mueller was on vacation in Lake Placid, New York, in 2014 when he met another Mueller, a new New York firefighter. As the men were talking, Eric Mueller asked the man if there were any pieces of the tower still available. During the cleanup, many were dumped into the sea, but some were saved, and the number of requests for pieces far exceeded the number available. "I just used Google and tracked it back and found it out that it was the New York Port Authority who had control of the artifacts," Axe said. There were 50 pieces left by the time she tracked down who to ask, and the waiting list was 150 requests long. The odds were not good that Decatur would get one. One of the antennas was one of those pieces made in Peoria, and she really hoped to get that. But before Decatur could even be put on the waiting list, they had to tell the Port Authority why they wanted it. Most of the artifacts went to police and fire departments and other such organizations. She wrote the first letter, and then Mayor Mike Tuna McElroy signed it. She started collecting letters from everybody, including U.S. Senator Dick Durbin and State Senator Chapin Rose, and sending them to the Port Authority. And when they asked why Decatur wanted one of the pieces, she told them her vision was a memorial by the lake with the water behind it, and to have the memorial look like a smaller version of the Twin Towers. She kept calling and sending more letters, and by August 2016, by being the squeaky wheel, as she called it, news came that Decatur would receive one. The original idea was to cut the beam in half to use the two halves to represent the Twin Towers in the memorial. Only one cut was allowed. Axe had to accept responsibility to be the caretaker and had to take out insurance on the artifact. This was before Google Maps, so John Axe had a Garmin and paper maps. The problem was it's a long trip and he could stay in a hotel, but the beam had to be guarded. Police escorted John Axe and the beam throughout the trip, handing off to the next department as they crossed jurisdictions. He made stops along the way, usually at fire departments, where they would take him somewhere to rest and people could come and see the beam before it moved on. One of those stops in Pennsylvania was a first responder from Shanksville, Pennsylvania, who gave him a piece of the crashed Flight 93. After his last stop in Attica, Indiana, John Axe had an escort the rest of the way to Kosciuszko, where the firefighters and the public met him. As the final design was created, the original idea of cutting the beam in half changed to cutting off one end to fit it into the memorial, with the filing cabinet drawer on top of it, and the cutting was done by steelworker Scott House, who called it an honor. I had a lump in my throat through the entire process, just being in the presence of this beautiful piece of steel, House said. It has been hand-cut with a torch three times in its life, once in the late 60s by its original fabricator, a second time in 2001 by a brother ironworker in New York, freeing her from the aftermath of the attacks, and for the last time by me today. It was an honor and a privilege to help her final place of rest, well-earned rest. Without sounding like a ham, and with all sincerity, God bless America. Community support. During the fundraising period for the memorial, Isabella Ledsma, a seventh grader at St. Patrick's School, held a bake sale and donated the proceeds to the fund. When a fundraising event was held to win a ride on the vintage Stearman biplane, the school held an essay contest to determine which student would take that flight. The assignment was to write about their thoughts on September 11, 2001, and Isabella won. Axe had already intended to include mention of Isabella's contribution as part of the time capsule buried under the memorial, and the fact that she won the essay contest, too, was a cherry on top. "It's like serendipity, really," Axe said at the time. "We were already wanting her story for the time capsule, and then to find out the essay winner was the same Isabella. It's just so great. Isabella will be one of the speakers at this year's 9/11 event at the memorial." The road hasn't been without its bumps, however. Pamela Lukenbill, who took on the responsibility of landscaping and keeping the site picked up and cleaned up, has found litter and vandalism. Over the 4th of July, someone laid a lit sparkler on the granite base, which damaged it, though Lukenbill has been able to clean much of that away very carefully. Someone cleaned a fish they'd caught and left the entrails stuffed down a crack in one of the benches, which created a mess and a stench. Vandals have defaced the benches around the memorial and dug up the plants, damaged the memorial itself, and thrown items into Lake Decatur. The worst vandalism, however, was in April 2024, when someone removed the file drawer off the memorial. That piece was missing for the better part of 2 years before the drought of 2025 brought the lake level down so far that John Dahm of Decatur, walking along the lakefront, caught sight of the piece in the lake. I couldn't imagine somebody who was stupid enough to vandalize something like that being willing to carry something very far, he said. It wasn't surprising to me that it was right off the edge, right there, by the memorial. Lukenbill, a retired educator for Decatur Public Schools, wanted to be part of the fundraising efforts in the beginning, before the memorial was created, but her job kept her too busy. After she retired, taking over the landscaping and cleaning became her contribution, plus a fundraising effort to get a flagpole and a flag placed at the site. She's been to the memorials at all three sites of attacks on September 11, 2001, the Twin Towers site, the Pentagon, and Shanksville, PA. She also tries to visit memorials in other states, like memorials like Decatur's. The memorials are important to teach younger generations about that day, people who were too young or hadn't been born yet. Certain historical events split people's lives into before and after, she said. Pearl Harbor, John F. Kennedy's assassination, and September 11. You have to know before you can never forget, Lukenbill said. I came up with that as an educator. We're 25 years into this, and anybody less than 35 has no memory of it. There's a big problem, population, that doesn't know about it because it's not part of their lifetime. For my parents' generation, it was Pearl Harbor. I hope this next generation won't have anything like that. And the large photo on the front page is a picture of that memorial. The Decatur 9/11 memorial lights up as the sun starts to set during a September 11, 2024 ceremony in Nelson Park. The memorial, which includes a beam from one of the fallen Twin Towers in New York City, serves as a reminder to never forget the events of September 11, 2001. And they're very beautiful. They are two square tall towers with flames, iron flames, and we see the sun setting behind them, so that adds to the color, but we see the colors inside of the sculptures. And there's a base, a granite base, that's got, you know, the creation committee and the names of all the people. And the, I can't read all of them, but there's people sitting here at a sunset ceremony. And the caption says, the Decatur 9/11 memorial lights up as the sun starts to set during a September 11th ceremony in Nelson Park. Decatur's memorial path began with persistence, and we read about that, and community. And then there's more I'll read after I read some of the other paper. American flag banner, visits to national 9/11 memorials, and September 11th begins Bring Back Memories for Local Widow. Also on the front page, there's a local business. Cow Print cheers welcome Chick-fil-A, popular U.S. restaurant open for business in Forsyth. The staff at Chick-fil-A, a Forsyth Decatur, knows how to make an entrance, or at least to control one. The restaurant, known for its chicken sandwiches, waffle fries, and accompanying sauce, as well as the long but quick drive-through lines, opened Thursday morning with the same reputation as other Chick-fil-A restaurants. It's nice, easy, and simple, owner and operator Brian Bundy said about the efficiency of the drive-through and counter service. Customers were encouraged to visit the new restaurant located at 1275 South Route 51 in Forsyth, dressed in cow print on the opening day, or the MOVE, M-O-O-V-E, in party, to receive a free entree. Oakley, or dressed in cow pants, Oakley resident Carrie Christ brought her two daughters, Sela and Sadie, to play in the playground area after they ate the kids' favorite chicken meal. "We know they're safe here," she said about the food as well as the atmosphere. The free entree was a good excuse to pull out her fashionable cow pants, Christ said. "I never have a reason to wear them," she said. "They've made it to one concert in 7 years. The nearest Chick-fil-A for the Christ family is Champaign and Springfield, both more than 45 minutes away. If you hop in the car to visit a Chick-fil-A, you're a dedicated mom," she said. Like other owners, Bundy works and lives in the area he serves. He began working for the company 8 years ago. As a team member before he became part of the leadership development program. He also helped open the Mattoon location. "We're having people come over saying, 'Why don't we get one?'" Bundy said about the Macon County customers. "We know that people are excited about it." Approximately 100 employees were trained for the influx of customers expected on Thursday's opening day. "We've gotten the opportunity to have team members from about 16 different high schools and from all different walks of life," Bundy said. Forsyth Mayor Jim Peck understands the new restaurant is important to the village as well as surrounding communities. "It's things like this that will help just keep the growth moving," he said. "They are obviously going to bring traffic and a lot of people to town. That opens the door for a lot of other options for retailers." The Chick-fil-A planning stages began in 2024. The Forsyth administration implemented a few of the restaurant's requests. For example, Chick-fil-A requirements include a large sign that reached past the village ordinance. "It all worked out," Peck said. "It's going to pay dividends, no doubt." According to Jill Appleby, village administrator, Forsyth has recently become a popular destination for new business, new and future restaurants, including Jimmy John's Pizza Place on Main's new location, Diamonds and Yolk Breakfast Restaurant, and Tequila's Pura Vida. But we're really excited about all this, she said, standing inside the Chick-fil-A. It's been amazing, the response from the community. Other future businesses include an athletic gym and a hotel. A dispensary opened several months ago. We've been busy, Appleby said, which is wonderful. Chick-fil-A has more than 300 locations throughout the world, including Puerto Rico, Canada, United Kingdom, and Singapore. The efficiency of the drive-thru has helped put a Chick-fil-A on the map. The Forsyth restaurant is one of the few in the state to offer a mobile through check in which online orders have their own lane. Team members are taken care of as well, with fans on warm days and heat lamps on cooler days. You get to interact with our awesome team members at that pickup lane, Bundy said. Established by its late founder, S. Truett Cathy, in 1967, Chick-fil-A is a business based on biblical principles. Therefore, the restaurants are closed on Sundays. The company also helps the communities as they are part of. A $25,000 donation from Chick-fil-A Incorporated has been donated to Central Illinois Food Bank, a Feeding America partner food bank, as a celebration of the new restaurant. Chick-fil-A Forsyth Decatur will also donate surplus food to Good Samaritan Inn through the Chick-fil-A Shared Table program. And also a photo on page 2 here shows vehicles moving through the drive-thru at the grand opening day of the Chick-fil-A in Forsyth on Thursday, September 10th. And cars, there's two lanes of cars, and they are bumper to bumper. And a photo, if I can turn here on. And as I said, the picture on the front page is a close-up of a customer receiving an order in the drive-thru during the grand opening day at the Chick-fil-A in Forsyth on Thursday, September 11th. And there's two plastic bags with the Chick-fil-A symbol on it. And there's a worker in kind of a blue shirt and bright green suspender things. And he's also holding a container that's got drinks in it, or a carrier that's got drinks in it. And on this day, 25th anniversary of the September 11th disaster, we have local and national news on page A5. U.S. sites make memorials real. This is from Decatur. Visitors say 9/11 memorials bring powerful emotions to life. Images of the attacks on September 11, 2001 are often revisited during television specials each year of the anniversary. However, according to the people who visited the three attack sites, nothing compares to the overwhelming feeling mixed with their own memories of that day. Everyone should go there, especially if you lived through it, said Marilyn Yates, 73. It's hard to explain. It's just a feeling that overcomes you. Yates has been to New York several times to visit the site of the September 11 attacks, the first time in 2012. She was part of a group organized by Timmy's Tours, a travel company based in Moquegua. During the trip home, they stopped by the Flight 93 National Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I always liked New York, even before that, Yates said, but I went back to kind of honor those people and what happened. When Yates made her first visit, the memorials and the museums weren't finished, prompting other returns. It's life-changing, she said, about each visit. Yates was working for the state of Illinois in a downtown Springfield office on the day of the attacks 25 years ago, after the first planes hit the World Trade Center in New York. The state buildings were evacuated in Illinois. They told us we needed to go home, Yates said. They didn't know what was going on. One of the more moving museums for Yates includes the Flight 93 National Memorial in Pennsylvania. Many of the museum's features provide illustrations of what happened during the hijacking of the plane. I always walk down and look at each of the person's names just to kind of honor them, Yates said, because those are kind of really the true heroes of the day and after everything that went on. They were just people on that plane going to do what they had to do. Lois Odell, 78, from Litchfield, said she finds the memorials moving. It tugs at your heartstrings to know what people went through, she said. The memorial at the National 9/11 Pentagon Memorial in Arlington, Virginia, also pays special honor to the children, a tribute Odell found especially touching. American Airlines Flight 77, bound for Los Angeles, crashed into the Pentagon with 6 crew members and 58 passengers on board, including 5 hijackers. Inside the building, 125 people perished. At the Pennsylvania Museum, the recordings of the passengers to their loved ones before their deaths are heard throughout the facility. That was just chilling to relive it, Odell said. No matter how emotional the museums can be, the local visitors continue to encourage others to go as well. We need to remember what happened, Ogle said. Jack Kaufman's memories are those from those of a child, but they are just as clear. I was only 6 when 9/11 happened, but I remember it as one of my first vivid memories, he said. As vice president of Timmy's Tours, Kaufman has since visited the National Memorial several times. His first visit to New York was in 2007, when he was 12 years old. Ground Zero was still a pit of rubble. 6 years later, recovery was very much still not done. He said, Kaufman returned approximately every 6 years. The site got a little cleaner, he said. It went from a pit to street level to a towering structure. During his visits, Kaufman had the opportunities to speak with others about the experiences that day. A New York City police officer simply told him, "The city that never sleeps slept that night. There was no crime. Everyone was together as one," Kaufman remembered. The mother of a firefighter, Michael Mullen, sat in the basement of the New York Museum, as she did every day, and told people about her son, Kaufman said. She gave me a patch with her son sitting at a piano in his fire gear. I will have that patch and will never forget that woman. Carol Bayers, 61, from Litchfield, said she's always wanted to go to New York but missed her opportunity to see the Twin Towers before they fell. But they will be in your mind forever, she said. You'll never forget. Instead, Bayers has been to the National September 11th Memorial and Museum to pay respects for those who lost their lives that day. When you go to the memorial and you see the fire truck, they have some of the recordings in there of the people that left messages on the planes and the firemen's hats and the steel beams, and it just blows your mind, Bayer said. And there's a photo here. Local tourists study the destroyed New York City fire truck housed in the National September 11th Memorial and Museum in New York City. And the back of the truck is crushed. The ladder top things are crushed and bent down. And the truck is says Ladder 3 on it. And people are standing behind a guardrail looking at the damaged fire truck. And also on this page, September 11 events bring back memories for local widow. This is from Tower Hill. Janice Punches has had 25 years to reflect on her husband Jack since he died in the Pentagon during the September 11 attacks. I'm as good as can be expected, she said. It's usually a beautiful day, but sad. The Central Illinois native decided to keep her residency in Virginia. Her 2 children live within 15 miles of her home. Punches, 75, is originally from Pena. Her husband was from Tower Hill. I come back about once a month, she said. I travel with Timmy's tours. Several years ago, Punches and her classmates would meet for tours together, although the crew began to travel less. Punches kept up with the regular trips. I've met so many good people that I'm not scared to go by myself, she said. Last year I went on 6 trips. Timmy Kaufman, the owner of Timmy's Tours, based in Mauiqua, has traveled to the memorial sites throughout the years, including at the Pentagon. During one of her visits, she purchased a flag with the names of all the people who died that day. Jack's name is highlighted. Although she never had the opportunity to meet Jack Kaufman, Kaufman has built a relationship with his widow. On our trips, we always recognize veterans, always, Kaufman said. We give them applause and let them get off the bus first. We give them a veteran's pin that they can wear on their hat or their lapel. With Punch's approval, Kaufman will recognize her husband's sacrifices as well. I say to the crowd, on board, we have a widow of an American hero, Kaufman says. Then I tell Jack's story. The story is often met with tears, Kaufman said. She told me, thank you for keeping his memory alive, she added. The Punches haven't made any special plans this year, just staying with the kids, she said. The family avoids visiting the memorials. Usually we're just a camera prop, Punches said. That's what they do to us. The memories are brief but clear. On that day, 25 years ago, Punches spoke with her husband about the first event as they were happening in New York. I asked him what was going on, she remembered. He said, we're trying to figure it out. That's the last I heard from him. Several days later, Punches received a knock on her door. When a guy in a uniform shows up at your door, it's not a good thing, she said. And there's a photo here. A small photo of her husband in his uniform, just his face and a hat, military hat. And Timmy Kaufman poses with the commemorative flag from the World Trade Center gift shop displayed at Timmy's Tours in Mauiqua on September 3rd. And that's the flag, I think, that has all the names of those who died on September 11th, 2001. And there's another photo here from a national article about September 11th, 2001. Visitors take photos of themselves with one World Trade Center behind them as they spend time April 27th at the 9/11 Memorial in Manhattan. The National September 11th Memorial and Museum has become one of the most visited destinations for tourists visiting New York City. And the new tower, rising far above the other skyscrapers, is glistening in the sunlight, and people are standing, getting their picture taken at the base of it. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, September 11th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.